And welcome to We the People Radio. Well,
welcome to you, too.
My name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
I'm subdued, Aaron Ryan. I should reclassify myself. I'm having a little stomachache today. So if I disappear for short periods of time, you'll be talking to Bill.
And I'll keep a sharp eye out.
Eagle eye. So let's see. You can find all the information about the program at wethepeopleradio.us. And .net, and .org, and .everything, but .com.
Not .com.
Yeah, some knucklehead took .com and is wasting it. But anyway, we've got it all posted for you up there. And there's quite a bit of information. Typically on each program, we put quite a bit about our guests and anything that we reference, links and stuff like that. So if you're driving or you're sitting outside working, you know, working on yard work or doing something else, you can always catch up on all that afterward. And we also post a commercial-free archive afterward. I've never thought really to mention it, but those are free. Robert always takes the, we celebrate the capitalism during the program, and then afterward we sort of cut the capitalism off at the knees and just post it without that. So it's really quick for you to catch up with part of the program you maybe missed. So, okay, today we've got two different topics. The Secretary of State race in the state of California. Now, if you're not in the state of California and you're thinking, well, who cares about that? I'm going to bet you money you don't know a whole lot about what the Secretary of State does and why you care. And since California is as screwed up as it is, it's a wonderful example of what needs to be changed. We also hear quite a bit about voter fraud and it's not really happening, blah, blah, blah. Our guest today will give you a real eye-opener. Be fantastic. And second hour, we're talking about Syria. So,
great.
So Bill's trying to butt in here so that he can add the sponsor.
Okay, this is me butting in. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota dealer. And if you want a great deal on a tractor, go see them at 3119 Twinview Boulevard. And their phone number is 226-9226. And they're stuffed to the gills with tractors right now. So go up there and see what they have on hand.
And mowers.
And mowers, yeah. We do it all.
Mowers and mowers.
Yeah, go up there and see what they have and get yourself fixed up. Team Power.
Parts, service, sales. That's you guys right. Do it all.
That's right.
Nice. So Mark is in there. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so your last name looks like something, it looks to be pronounced not the way it is actually pronounced, and you had a really handy way to make people remember, so before I screw it up, I'm going to let you do it.
With Moisure, you are more sure of fair and free election.
There you go.
I like it.
I was like, darn it, what did he say before? I thought, if I do it wrong, it'll be wrong the whole time.
But for those people who want to know how to spell it, it's M-E-U-S as in Sam, E-R. But again, it's Moisure.
Right. So, and I like that. You're more sure of fair and free elections. So, I know we you know, it seems like, oh, we have an hour so we can talk forever, but there's a lot of information that you brought to the table when I heard you speak a couple weeks ago about what's going on in the state of California, which makes a, let's see, we'll just call it a really strong case for some change.
Well, I guess let's start off with the couple of the statistics that actually caused me to decide that it was time to be, as an election attorney, it was time for me to step up and actually get in to the Secretary of State's race. Because the Secretary of State's race, you are the chief election officer of the state. And that means you are responsible throughout the state of California to make sure we have fair and honest elections. That is your number one responsibility. Now, there are some other responsibilities that the Secretary of State has, but for the purposes of this conversation today, we'll probably focus 95% of our time on elections, because that is what most people want. Most people want those who are eligible to vote, that everybody who's eligible to vote, who votes, that their vote counts. So let's start off with some scary statistics. There are 11 counties in the state of California, and understand we have 58 counties. There are 11 counties with over 100% registration, which means there are more people on the voter rolls then are eligible to vote.
Now, there are some folks that are really concerned with government. They're all out there, and they're all registered. Is that what you're saying?
Twice.
Twice.
So, yeah, tell Bill I didn't tell him how many are registered in Los Angeles County, because that was truly the shocker for me.
Yeah. In Los Angeles County, understand, the most populous county in the nation, there is 144% voter registration.
Wow.
Now, to put that in context, their neighbors to the south in Orange County, which has a register of voters, a county register of voters, who actually does his job of cleaning up the voter rolls, they only have like 87, 88% voter registration.
Which is still pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of, you know, the register of voters in Orange County is very active in comparing his data with databases, government databases, private databases, and he's doing what he can to make sure that only those people who are eligible to vote are on the voter rolls. Now, he's not perfect, but, you know, he has about 87% voter registration, while his neighbors to the north is 144%, and his neighbors to the south down in San Diego are 138%. So that's where you start seeing there's a problem here. And as Secretary of State, you are the one who is responsible for making sure that the counties are doing their job. So if the counties are not doing their job, the fault lies, yes, with the counties, but it also lies with the Secretary of State, who has the broad powers to basically come in and say, you're not doing your job, you have to do it, and if you don't do it, the Secretary of State is going to take over the job and make sure you do it.
Hmm. Yeah, you guys are literally the safety net. And same too, if like we had up here at the north end of the state, they had some voter fraud that they reported to the Secretary of State 2 years ago.
Yeah,
2 years ago.
All sorts of accusations of bribery and.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty scary story, and, you know, it's sad. You know, it's voter fraud. When it gets reported to the media says, oh, voter fraud doesn't exist. And
right.
If they find a story like down in San Diego where hundreds of people have been dead for over 20 years, yet have voted in more than 10 elections, that story gets coverage for a couple hours and then it's buried, whereas, you know, other stories are going to just run for days upon days upon days. And it's, you know, the media may cover it from time to time, but generally speaking, it doesn't serve their narrative that, you know, there is no voter fraud. I mean, just yesterday I was talking to a county register of voters, and I have, from his county, people who have told me they've seen buses go from precinct to precinct to precinct casting illegal votes. And they have told me that they have told this person. And so when I was talking to this particular county registered voter, I said, well, what about the problem of the buses going from precinct to precinct in your county? And he's like, oh, it doesn't exist. And why doesn't it exist? Because he doesn't investigate, because it doesn't fit his narrative that there is no such thing as voter fraud.
As long as
they
the elections
want
are
to look at.
Going his way, I mean, hey, why get all up in their business, you know? So we have to take a quick break here, but before we do, I just wanted to let people know that Mark's a native Californian, small business owner, committed to fighting for honest and fair elections. And he started as an entrepreneur at the age of 12. Got an interesting history on here. We'll give you little bits along the way. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
All the gold. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you play.
Make it fast, make it urgent. Do it quick, do it urgent.
Mark, we were talking about
voter fraud and busing people from precinct to precinct. How in the world can these counties control that if you don't have to have ID when you vote? How do you stop people from going from precinct to precinct?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I want to take us back in time for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to take you back to a special election in Oakland, California, in 1883. The state of California had just been around for a couple years, and there was a special election, and as soon as the special election was over, the challenger and the incumbent showed up in Sacramento, both declaring themselves the winner. And the challenger basically said, you know, Mr. Carpenter, the assemblyman from Oakland who was up for the special election, said, you know, he cheated. He stole the election. And what they found was that there were 35 people who were on the ferry going from Oakland back to San Francisco that night who had been paid $5 each to cast an illegal ballot. And some of them had voted as many as seven times. And this was a problem that was going on across the nation. We know a couple years later in Kansas, where people came across from Missouri into Kansas to vote whether Kansas was going to be a slave state or a free state. We could go to the Tammany Hall days of the late 1860s, early 1870s in New York, where people would come across from New Jersey or down from upper New York to cast illegal ballots. There was a great problem in the nation, which came to be that people just did not trust their elections. And so what ended up happening across the nation was voter registration. And with voter registration, you were able to, know where somebody was voting. They couldn't vote from, you know, you couldn't go to another precinct. You couldn't go vote multiple times throughout a day, because if you had only so many voter registrations, you know, you couldn't cast illegal ballots. It was much harder to cast illegal ballots. Well, when you have 144% voter registration, you have to understand, how do you get to 144% voter registration in LA? And the first way happens if somebody dies. Second way is if somebody moves. Third way is if there's a duplicate voter registration. Fourth way is if there's a fictitious voter registration. And a fifth way is if a non-citizen gets on the voter rolls. So let's cover the first one, death. When, you know, this story took place in November of 2016, a young man named Brandon. Brandon went to the polls to vote, and at the polls, he looked at the voter roll as he was signing his name, and he realized that his grandfather had already voted that day. The thing is, was his grandfather had been dead for 15 years. Now, somebody figured out that Brandon's grandfather had been dead. They knew that there's, no voter ID requirements. So they were able to come in, say that they're Brandon's grandfather. They were given a voter slip. They signed Brandon's grandfather's name, and they were able to cast an illegal ballot. You can get these buses to go from precinct to precinct to precinct with very minimal effort of just studying the voter rolls and seeing who's dead, see who's moved out of the state, see the duplicate voter registrations, the fictitious registrations, or the non-citizens on the voter rolls, and go, okay, these votes, these people are not going to vote. So what we do is we go in and we pretend we're those people. So by simply cleaning up the voter rolls of only those people who are eligible to vote, while you do not completely reduce fraud, you do make it much harder to commit fraud because of the fact that only those people who are eligible to vote are on the voter rolls. And then you're going to have a lot higher voter turnout because only the people on the rolls are the people who are eligible to vote. And so that is one of the first ways that you go to decrease the ability of these people to go from precinct to precinct to precinct, is when you get in there ahead of time and make sure only people who are eligible to vote are able to vote. I can tell you a story about George down in Temecula, which is Riverside County. The first time he voted, he showed up at the polls and said, "Hey, George Temecula, I would like to vote." And they said, "You'd already voted that day." and he says, "No, I haven't. Look at my driver's license. Look at my signature. I have not been here." All he was able to do was give a provisional ballot, which did not count because his ballot had already been cast that day. So, yes, voter ID is what we call a 70% issue in the state of California. People really want it. Now, as Secretary of State, I am not your legislature. I cannot cast a ballot. Instead, as Secretary of State, I actually enforce the law. But as I get out there and I talk about the Georges of Temecula, the Brandons of the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, and as I share these stories of people who have actually seen voter fraud in this state and how people have taken advantage of the security of our ballot, people are starting to wake up and go, we need to do something about it. And there, even what happened in Rhode Island is the people all of a sudden demanded that their legislature give them voter ID. And Rhode Island's not a conservative state, so if Rhode Island could get their legislature to give them voter ID, we could do the same thing here in California. But we also have another tool here in California, which is called ballot propositions. And, you know, as I use the bully pulpit of the Secretary of State to highlight how unsecure our elections are, how much fraud is going on in our elections here in the state of California, we are going to see that the people are going to call their legislatures, or we're going to be able to get momentum going on a ballot proposition, and we're going to get it on the ballot where the people will be able to order that they have more security in their ballot. I mean, to give you an idea how bad our elections are here in the state of California, according to a liberal think tank, California has the second-ranked elections in the nation. And that's not second from the top, that's second from the bottom. Second-worst elections in the nation. Now, some people might say, well, yeah, it's not good to be the second-worst elections in the nation, but we live in the United States of America. We've taught the world how to vote. We are the, you know, city on the hill. We have shown the world what it means to have representative government. Well, in a recent Harvard study of the 28 Western democracies in the world, on the issue of election integrity, the United States ranks 28th. We, of the Western democracies, we have the most insecure elections in the world.
Jeez.
And California is the second worst. So, I mean, we're not second worst of the best nation. We're second worst of the worst nation. That's how bad our elections are.
Hmm. So what's the deal with voter ID? I know they found it unconstitutional federally, or is that just state to state?
It is not unconstitutional federal. The federal courts have ruled that voter ID is constitutional. So if a state passes voter ID requirements, it is permissible.
Well,
I think that's
the first step to getting this, I think, really straightened out, is having to provide ID when you go to a poll. Now, that's not to say that they won't turn around and issue a bunch of fake IDs, but...
But see, if those people aren't eligible to vote in the first place...
Right.
You know, you kind of cut them off at the pass. Besides that, you know, if you can't, the people who are swaying these elections with voters that have not been removed, I know you, when we, on the backside of this break, we should talk about people who move. That's another way. You had five ways, I think, that they mess up elections. See how good my memory is. It's been two entire weeks.
Yeah.
Well, when you've heard me 15 times, I'm going to expect you to get up on stage and get my speech for me.
Okay, so I've only heard it once, so I'm not really going to, I don't have to go directly to the rack and be stretched. But if those people weren't eligible if it wasn't available for them to cook these elections, there might be less opposition, do you think, to voter ID and some of those things? I mean, if you've already kind of tightened the screws on the ability for dead people and people who moved and all that to vote.
Well, as Secretary of State, I have the power to inspect and audit all of our elections.
Ooh.
And to start prosecutions of voter fraud. Now, most people don't realize that everybody hears this line that there's no such thing as voter fraud.
Right.
But Heritage Foundation actually has a database of, in the last 10 years, over 1,000 convictions across this nation of actual voter fraud.
Now, these are convictions of people who have voted illegally?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Because I don't know. I think in California, you know, with California now being a sanctuary state, thank goodness for that, I would think that the ability for people who are not citizens in California to vote is much higher now, especially if they're not enforcing any kind of voter integrity. Would you agree with that?
Well, the other day I talked to an individual who was running for office in San Bernardino, and he happens to be in law enforcement. And he was looking through some of the key people who were supporting his opponent, you know, who had signed nomination paperwork. And as he was looking through, he was, you know, looking it up on the database, and one of the people who were supporting his opponent, he immediately spotted, based upon the driver's license number, because he was doing it on the back end, that this person had a AB-60 driver's license. So this person...
Which is an illegal alien provisional driver's license, right?
Yes, an illegal alien provisional driver's license. This person had been able to use that ID to register to vote. Even though they tell us, if you have an AB-60 driver's license, you cannot register to vote.
Right.
This person, by simply looking at the 60 people who had signed the nomination paperwork of his opponent, realized that one of those people happened to be an illegal alien who was registered to vote and had used that AB-60 driver's license to register to vote. And they tell us that, oh, if you have an AB-60 driver's license, the systems are in place that you cannot register to vote. But they're doing no independent audits. They're doing no investigation to make sure. They just tell us that's what's going on. But we are finding, as we investigate the voter rolls, as you know, if you know what you're looking for, because these AB-60 driver's licenses have a unique number set, but you have to be trained to understand what that unique number set is. But when we see those, we are actually seeing that there are illegal aliens who are on our voter rolls, even though our government is telling us that that does not exist, that they're not on there.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this some more, because I recently had a situation with my ID that I think folks need to be aware of.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah.
All right, we're here with Mark Moisher, so you can be more sure of free and fair elections.
There you go.
It's the perfect name running for Secretary of State. So if you live in a different state or a different location...
The person who controls your elections really does control the levers of power. It's worth looking into and making sure you have good folks at the front end. So Mark's running this year in the state of California. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Mexico, never really been, but I sure like to go. Then why, Mexico, I guess I'll have to go now. Talking about in Mexico.
Seen nothing yet. You wait till Mark gets elected.
you wait till we purge the voter rolls in California. That'll be shocking.
Yeah, we'll have 50% registration.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Hey, so recently I went down and got my driver's license renewed, and it was a fairly painless process. While there, I noticed that they have signs everywhere, register to vote, register to vote. You know, that's fine. If you want to have people register to vote at the DMV, that's all good and well. However, when I got my new driver's license, in the top right-hand corner of the driver's license, it says, federal limits apply. Little did I know, after I read up on this, is that I guess there's a law in 2020 that you have to have what they call real ID to board an airplane, to buy a gun, a couple other things. And your driver's license, if it says federal limits apply, you can't use that. You have to have a passport, a birth certificate, Social Security, like two forms of ID. Your driver's license is no longer going to be available to you. So now I have to go back.
Because they didn't even tell you.
Because they don't even tell you when you go there. Now I got to go back and get a new one and get that federal limit supplies removed from that by taking in birth certificate, passport, blah, blah, blah. So I know, I just wanted folks to know, if they're going in to get a driver's license, beware.
Well, so
very good information and a good reminder. That is kind of the federal government's response to the state of California offering AB60 driver's license. It's like, okay, you're going to let everybody have a driver's license without proof of who they really are? Well, here, guess what? Citizens of California, they're not going to be allowed to travel. They're not going to be able to buy a gun unless they, you know, unless their state actually offers this real ID.
Exactly.
And so California, through their infinite wisdom, are basically making it harder for real Californians to, you know.
Right. Right. That's exactly what it is, too. And I was.
But they offered to, like, register you. I mean, is the DMV getting some kind of a bounty on how many voter registrations they get?
I mean, it is actually a federal law that they are required to do this. So,
but it's not a law to tell citizens that if you want to use your driver's license for ID, you better come back with some real
yeah, like we need different proof if you want an actual.
They don't offer that at all. Thank you, California. And
yeah.
So they're just another way to grab another $35 out of you to get the right driver's license.
Well, and
license.
Further benefit illegal aliens,
yeah,
over citizens.
It's crazy.
So Mark, when you decided to run for Secretary of State, did people try to talk you out of it?
Actually, I was the one who tried to talk myself out of it. When I was recruited, like, why do I want to do this? And, you know, the thing is, I'm a election law constitutional attorney. So I was one of the first attorneys that were flown into Wisconsin for the presidential recounts. So I take on the big cases. And one of the things that the people who recruited me did is they just kept on showing me stories and statistics and all the problems that were going on with our voter rolls. And it just eventually got to the place where my inner, you know, the person who wants to fight for justice, fight for what was right, realized, if not me, then who? And I realized I was in the position where I could basically put my law career aside for a whole year, put, you know, shelf the law career, and just get out and travel up and down the state of California, going to as many groups as possible, educating people on the problems that we have here in the state of California when it comes to fair and honest elections. And so that, because I was in that position and because I understood the problem and because I have the training of what the problem is and what the solutions are, it really became when the inner bulldog in me said, we got to take this battle on, and the time is now to take it on, that once I committed, there was no looking back. I'm all over the state. In the last 6 months, I've driven over 47,000 miles in the state of California.
Holy cow. Well, God bless you, because if good people don't run for office, we're going to continue down the road we're on right now. And frankly, people that run for office, it's sad, because you can be a person of great integrity and run for office, and they're going to throw so much mud at you, you wonder why people even want to sign up for it anymore.
Well, and then at the end of the day, if there's voter fraud at this level, especially in a state like this, how do we ever elect good people?
I mean,
that door will basically be shut forever if that doesn't get cleaned up.
I would love to challenge that comment right now, that, you know, Republicans can't win, that conservatives can't win, that honest people cannot win. 4 years ago, Pete Peterson was running for California Secretary of State, and he almost won the election. Even though he was outspent 7-1, he almost won the election. And there are many people who say that he would have won the election, but for the margin of fraud in Los Angeles County alone.
See, that's the tough thing right there is you can run a great race, you can run an honest race, but with this level of corruption in the election rolls or in the voter rolls.
So bottom line is Secretary of State is the most important race at the moment.
It is. You haven't got a chance. Mm-hmm. They've already stacked the deck against you. And you're right. If somebody could almost win with that system, that's pretty good.
That is good.
Now, let's take ourselves back to 1994. Let's take ourselves back to 1980, you know, when Reagan was elected. 1994, contract with America. 2010, the Tea Party wake-up. What do all three of those things have in common? There was the people of America realized that there was a problem, and they basically did a massive wholesale change of their government. Now let me go to what's going on with the issue of election integrity. There are ways that you can go in and see how often certain terms are mentioned in the media. And you can go clear back to, I think, about the 1800s, I think it is, maybe even the 1700s. And if you study the issue of election integrity, you know, I told that story in 1853, there's a problem with election integrity across the nation, and you will see a spike with how often people were talking about election integrity. Over the last 16 years, the issue of election integrity, actually, I'll say over the last 18 years since Bush v. Gore, there has been an increasing of the mention of election integrity, election fraud in the media. And it's over the last couple years, it has been really spiking. I mean, almost every day I'm seeing 2-3 articles just in the United States dealing with the issue of election integrity. What that means is people are paying more attention to their elections, paying more attention to election integrity. Does that mean much? Does that mean all of a sudden Mark Moisier is going to win Secretary of State? No, but we need to look at other measures. You know, in a recent LA Times poll, they found that 42% of California Democrats are saying that they do not like the direction that the state is going. 55% of independents do not like the direction that the state is going. What that means is that there is an opportunity to get out a message, even here in liberal, progressive California, that people are going, the way that we are going right now is not right. And as I'm traveling around the state, I am finding evidence that actually is confirming this. The other day, I was in San Francisco, and I was talking to a third-generation San Francisco City political machine operative. You know, I'm the Republican running for Secretary of State. You know, you can just imagine that this is probably not going to be the easiest conversation in the world to convince this guy of the problems of election integrity and that have going on. So I just played the attorney and I said, what are your problems that you have with the government and city of San Francisco? And he started out by talking about Kate's death and how the prosecution just absolutely bumbled that matter. He then moved to the homeless problem and the poop on the street. He then started talking about their drug problem and the needles. And then he went to the car break-ins and how the police couldn't prosecute. I like to say for 20 minutes, I thought I was talking to a Siskiyou County Tea Party patriot, not wow, a third-generation Democrat political machine party operative. People are waking up that what's going on right now is not working. And so I don't know whether that will translate in 2018 or 2020 or 2024, but there is a change going on in the state of California. I mean, we saw in the media just this week where Jerry Brown is, you know, pushing this bill that's basically going to ban the sale of Bibles in the state of California. Hey, if you don't think that's going to start waking up people that, you know, okay, you Christians don't have a First Amendment right to even buy a Bible, you know, they're starting to really overstep their bounds, whether it's the gas tax, whether it's cap and trade. You know, there is a general up that's going on. And, you know, I like to, you know, I'm a history buff. I love my history. You know, in 1774, you know, it was only about 20 to 25% of Americans wanted to separate from Great Britain. In 1775, you saw, you know, Paul Revere do his midnight ride, and you saw things up in Boston that they were starting to get really agitated with the British and try to pick them out. But even at the beginning of 1776, it was only 25% of Americans really wanted to separate from Great Britain.
We're gonna take a quick break. Let's pick this up after the break, because this is a really good point. And then also, I want to talk to you about some friends I know in Macedonia and Russia that can get you shoot in pretty easily. So we'll be back.
Our guest this hour is Mark Moisher. He is running for Secretary of State in California. Get out and vote. That was the song you were going to use when you registered for the Ironman up in Tahoe.
Going to? I actually did register for that one twice.
I know. That was the theme song, though. I saw that in your bio. I'm like, well, we got to play Eye of the Tiger. It's got to happen.
Got to happen. So to finish the story, so in 1776, at the beginning of the year, even though we'd already had the, you know, the Lexington and Concord, you know, Boston had already started fighting the British. We had only 25% of Americans wanted to separate from Great Britain. But then a guy named Thomas Paine came out and he wrote a piece that's called Common Sense. And it was spread like wildfire across the states, across the colonies. And it finally woke up the people to the tyranny that they were living under. And what I'm seeing in the state of California, with so many people fleeing the state, people are really starting to wake up to how the tyrannical policies that are coming out of Sacramento are driving their friends and their families away. And I think the people up in Northern California understand the tyranny coming out of Sacramento almost better than anybody. And what's going on is people are realizing the Democrat Party in California is not my grandmother's Democrat Party. And people are waking up to that effect, and there is starting to be what I call a tide change in the state, where people are going, oh, maybe we can't keep voting for the same politicians and expect a different result. And so that is why, you know, it is so important for people to get out and vote on June 5th. Because there are more freedom-loving patriots in California than there are of these people who are wishing to cast illegal ballots. There's only so much illegal ballots that they can cast. They can only swing a few close elections. But the thing is, they use that power very effectively. If we come out like we did in 1980 with Ronald Reagan, if we come out like we did in 1994, like we did with Newt Gingrich's contract with America, if we come out and vote like we did in 2010, if we do that in California, there is no amount of fraud that they can commit that's going to overwhelm the voice of we the people. When we the people don't contribute to the people who hold our values, when we don't go out and vote, when we do not volunteer to help them, whether it's knocking doors or making phone calls, when we don't do that, we basically secede to the those who love a tyrannical form of government, and we let them impose their tyranny upon us. And that's why it's so important in 2018 that we say, you know what, I want my state back. I want to make sure that I have a California that is truly golden again, that I can leave to my children, my grandchildren, my property, my farm, my ranch. We need to get back to a freedom-loving, you know, less government, you know, mindset. And that is coming. It is coming.
We just can't even fight the policies, though, if we can't get people in there to defend that. Because, like up in Siskiyou County, they had all sorts of voter fraud being committed, not by people in the county, but by people who came to the county to do that, to try to swing their marijuana ordinances. And when their registrar of voters went to the Secretary of State went up there and met with the illegal aliens and refused to meet with the registrar of voters and basically accused the county of racism or some fool thing. It's like, This is an important race, and we really do need to get you in there. We've got Gary Hollihan on the line, has called in with a, I don't know, question, comment.
Hello, Gary.
Fire away, Gary.
Good morning. What, quick question. Did your guest, when he was having the conversation with the Democratic operative in San Francisco, was there any realization in the conversation that it was liberal Democratic policies that caused the demise of San Francisco and all the crap in the streets? Literally, I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
So did you play the blame game?
I did not. I just set the table and let him realize what he had just said at the end. You know, it was like he talked about his issues, but, you know, somebody like that, you don't you almost have to, you lead them to water,
yeah.
You can't make them drink. You
right.
have to kind of salt the oats a little bit. And just getting him to all of a sudden realize he sounds like a Tea Party patriot from Siskiyou County, you know, that right there probably goes a long way to all of a sudden he stops and has to think, what's going on here?
Sure. And I heard, a few weeks ago that you talk about change. Nancy Pelosi's popularity is really in the toilet right now. Well, she's from San Francisco, so I guess that...
Not a lot of toilets there.
No,
you
not
got
a lot
poop
of
maps.
Yeah. But, I guess her popularity is waning, and her election isn't a shoo-in, which that in itself tells you change is coming.
Something's happening.
Yeah. For the people in the know, there is really a civil war going on in the Democrat Party here in the state of California. You know, we saw Feinstein was unable to get her party nomination. We saw Gavin Newsom, who's been kind of the anointed governor of the state for about the last 4 years, couldn't even get his party's endorsement. I mean, it was split so many ways. They are fractured right now.
Yeah, he can't pull over. Newsom can't seem to get past like 35-36%. So he is not a given.
He's like 24% right now in some of the most recent polls.
Yeah, and John Cox is like right behind him. I mean, literally, we could have two different parties on the November election if people pay attention. You know, one other thing here that we shouldn't let go, and it's I don't know if I were you, it'd be the part of the deal I hate, but is the money of elections. And I don't think people realize how much it costs to run for office. I mean,
what did you say for a governor? I mean, to
governor
run for
in
governor?
The state of California to run is $40 million.
That's not guaranteeing a win.
No, but that's if you want to hit the airwaves, TV, radio, in all of the markets in California, it was like all the TV in the state of California, and it was like for a day or two, it was like $340,000.
I mean, $10 million a week.
Yeah, okay. So
$10 million a week is what's considered a reasonable statewide TV and radio plan.
And that's just insane. I mean, that cuts so many people out of the mix. When they want to run for office, you know, a common person can't come close to raising that kind of money.
They can if the rest of the common people will let
rally
go
behind them.
Yeah, let go of some money. But I think people feel, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, you know, let them fend for themselves. Like some other magical person will pay for it. But just to hit radio and TV is hugely expensive. So the fact that you're putting that much rubber on the road to go see everybody, that makes a big difference. But it's a tough state to hit everybody.
It is a very tough state, but I have been blessed with well over 1,000 contributors to my campaign. I have almost 200 people who are doing what's called a monthly contribution to my campaign. Really helps, you know, settle things out. We're doing a good job. The thing is about a Secretary of State's race, I don't think in the last 20 years, I don't think a Republican has raised more than $1.2 million for a Secretary of State's race, which means we do not get to run TV. We do limited radio. You do a lot of social media advertising. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to volunteers who take your message and go knock doors, because it really goes down to the grassroots. $1 million is just, you know, that's about the best that you can do in this state. And it's a sad state of affairs, but at the same time, that's also the reality of what's going on. But if any of your listeners want to make a contribution to my campaign, they can go to markmeusher.com, which is markmeusher.com. My address, where if somebody wanted to mail a check, they could. It's on the website also. They can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, both of those, just by going to searching my name, markmeusher.com.
And we have posted all that on our site as well, so that, people need to get involved. And if we can switch over this one thing, Secretary of State, we can start looking at other races to be competitive. And that also includes City Council, Board of Supervisors, because illegal voting hits everything. And it's done county by county.
And I'm doing these short little interviews with people who have actually seen voter fraud in like 2014, 2016. And we're sharing those on Facebook, just short, simple, 2-minute videos, and they are going gangbusters. They are being spread up and down the nation. I had one the other day that got seen by 750,000 people. I mean, the message of our elections matter, people are really starting to pay attention to it. And people, when they hear some of these fraud stories that are going on in California, people are waking up and going, it's enough is enough. It's time to put someone in the chief election officer office who is going to actually do the job of cleaning up the voter roll.
Well,
that is fantastic.
I hope you do well, because that's a great place to start. We're out of time. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and if you have any new developments, give us a holler. We're here every Sunday afternoon, noon to 2.
I love it.
Thanks a million, Mark Moisher, running for Secretary of State in California. Definitely a guy worth helping. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.